started this lesson, I really should have named this series The Throne Zone. I wish I would have now. Because really, this is not about the four living creatures. It's really not about the 24 elders. Everything in these three lessons is about
the throne.
Now, we know that's not a literal throne. We understand now that when you see a throne in the book of Revelation, it is referring to what?
Government.
God doesn't sit on a throne.
Amen.
Yahweh is a spirit. Amen. Yahweh, the Bible said, the heavens is his throne.
Thank you.
He don't have a chair.
Amen.
The great white judgment will not be a chair. We must rid our minds of carnal thinking. We must understand that everything, these four living creatures here, the face of the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, this is what John saw before, he saw them in the midst of the throne. Actually, this is not a correct artistry work. These he saw in the throne. And we found out that the reason they were in the throne is because you and I, our rightful inheritance is the throne of Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah. Your inheritance is not heaven.
Thank you.
It's not streets of gold.
Amen.
It's not gates of pearl.
Amen.
Your inheritance is the Father's throne.
Yeah.
That's your inheritance. This is what you have been promised. Now, some of you that were not here last week, I'm going to say this to you, and those watching my video. I will give anyone every dollar in my pocket tonight. And I just got back from work, so there's quite a few in there.
All right.
I will give you every dollar in my pocket if you will show me one scripture in your Bible, in proper context, that says anybody, that Yahweh has promised heaven to anybody. I'll open the floor. Take your chance. Don't go to John 14, I'll eat your lunch. Next. One, think of it. There's not one scripture in the Bible, Brother Tom, and yet every sermon is about going to heaven. Every song is about going to heaven. Every preacher tells you to get saved so you can do what?
Go to heaven.
Do you know that nobody's going to heaven?
Thank you, sir.
And nobody's been there?
Thank you, sir.
Do you know that nobody except Yeshua has been to heaven? He only went there because he had to be high priest and mediate for you. Ain't nobody going to heaven, but you have been promised in the book of Revelation to him that overcometh, you will sit with me in my throne.
That's what I heard.
Right.
You will be a member of my government.
Hallelujah.
That's the only promise Yeshua ever made you. Put your fishing poles up. You're not going fishing in the river of life.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to the throne. And the reason that people backslide is because they think they're going to heaven. But if you ever realize that your job is a throne room position, you'll never turn your back on this good way. Why? You're preparing for your throne.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now we have gone through the living creatures, and tonight we arrive at these 24 elders that sit around the throne. Now where does the four living creatures, where does John see them? Mm-hmm. In the throne.
Yes, sir.
And he sees the Lamb in the throne. Why? Because the Lamb is every one of these. They're all, praise the Lord, son.
Hallelujah.
I thought somebody was feeling the Holy Ghost out there. Amen. That sounded like one of them good church sisters.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Now, so if these are the overcomers that's sitting in the throne. Who are these? Now last week I showed you who they were that were standing where? Last week, what did I teach you?
Around the throne.
Nope.
In front of the throne.
Before the throne, yes. In front of it.
Yes.
Now we found out who those folks were. They're the saved people.
Amen.
They're the 30-fold Christians. They're the ones that are saved. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians that on that day, many people would be tried and their works wouldn't add up to an overcomer.
Amen.
But they would still be what? Saved. Amen. As by fire.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? In the coming government, you're going to have two groups of people. Those that are in the throne, those that are around the throne,
yes, sir.
And those that are before the throne.
Yes, sir.
You better pray that you're not before the throne. Oh, you're going to have a wonderful life, but you're not going to gain your inheritance, which is the throne of God. So tonight we're going to get into these 24 elders that are sitting around the throne. Always remember that a throne represents government. Now here we find 24 elders. They are not in the midst of the throne, but rather they are around the throne. But yet, notice what John said. He said, I saw them sitting on thrones. So what that means is, they are still, these people are part of the government as well. What in the world does any of this mean? Remember, the book of Revelation is the harvest of the seedbed of the Bible, the Old Testament. Remember, everything you see in the book of Revelation cannot be understood if you don't understand the Tanakh, if you don't understand the Old Testament, if you don't understand the Torah, if you don't understand those things that your preacher tells you not to try and understand.
Hallelujah.
Then when you get to the book here, you're not going to know anything about this throne. You know why? Because listen, children, this throne is the exact same throne that was in the book of Exodus, that was in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, is where the cherubim stretched their wings. You see the wings? It was the same throne. So if you don't understand the Old Testament, when you get here, you don't understand what this throne is. Yahweh governed Israel from the throne.
Amen.
Where? From the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what was inside of the Ark of the Covenant?
The Ten Commandments.
The law of God.
Amen.
Every government is built on the law.
Amen.
Before we had one president, we had a constitution.
Amen.
Before we were a nation, we had a law. Before the throne is established, it must have a law. So ladies and gentlemen, to get to an understanding of this, you must know that in the tabernacle, the throne of Yahweh was sitting right there in Israel. Why did Yahweh tell Moses? Listen to what he told Moses. I want you to make the tabernacle exactly what you saw in heaven.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
He said, do it according to the pattern of what you saw. See, John wasn't the only one that had this vision. Moses had it. He saw everything in the heavenlies. And Yahweh said, now build your tabernacle as a microcosm, as a protoplasm of what you saw in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Now why is that important? Because I'm going to show you who the 24 elders are. But before you can know that, you've got to understand that in the Ark of the Covenant was this exact same throne.
Hallelujah.
Why did the high priest? Now, remember, there was a high priest that came before that throne. I think there's another one today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he said, make it exactly. Do it exactly like you saw it in heaven. Why do you think he said, go in now? Everybody laughs because of our colors. But he told Moses, he said, I want you to take the color of blue.
Yeah.
And I want you to, he called, these are Yahweh's favorite colors. He said, I want you to lay this inside the tabernacle, this color of blue. He said, I want you to put gold through my tabernacle. He said, I want you to take the white, the color of holiness, and drape it through the tabernacle. He said, I want you to take red, and I want you to drape it around the mercy seat. And then purple was what they covered the mercy seat with.
Yes,
I want this color. So when you come to celebrate Sabbath, we bring every color that he loves into the tabernacle of his temple today. We're not waving flags because it's just something to do. We're waving his banners, his favorite colors. He said, what you saw in heaven, do it. Won't be no black and white in heaven. Yahweh loves color.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Said, do it exactly the way I showed you. So, it is important that we understand when you get to Revelation, you've reached the harvest of the Old Testament. To understand this scene, it's time now to go back to the future. Because Yah never changes.
Amen.
Sister Moroni, if you want to know what Yah's going to do tomorrow, look at what he did yesterday.
Hey, hallelujah!
Yeah!
Yes, sir.
Do you know why? That the Bible is the only book that needs no revisions and no updates.
Right.
Think about it. How can you have a book that many years old and it never has a second edition?
Thank you.
Right? I'm an author. I'm always revising my books because they get outdated. I get new revelation. I get new understanding.
Yes,
so I go ahead and addendum. Right? But Yahweh's Bible, why does it? Because you'll understand there's two things that never change. Are you ready? God and Satan.
Thank you. Amen.
See? Brother Vaughn, those stories are old. No, they're not. Because you was in the Garden of Eden today.
Hallelujah.
You had two trees in front of you
yes,
today.
Sir.
You had two choices today.
Hallelujah.
You had a serpent in your life today.
Hallelujah.
You made a choice today. Nothing ever changes.
Yes, sir.
My grandmother always said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. See why? People will always be people. What? Rebellious. So God can write one Bible to rebellious people and he wrote it to the whole world. Every generation never changes. Yeah. Every generation hates the law of God. Every generation hates it. So therefore a Bible written to people that hated his law is still good today. Why? He never changes. You never change. See? It never has to be updated. Why? Because you're the same as the Israelite. Murmuring, complaining. Why write a new story? You're living the old one.
Thank you, sir.
No need to update it.
Thank you.
No need to update the Bible because you ain't updating.
Amen.
See? You're still the same as the Israelites. God's bringing you out of Egypt, that Baptist church, and you're trying to run back.
That's right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I know they watch it, and I care about as much as I care about a man on my skin.
Thank you, sir.
Either you believe this message or you don't.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, you'll go back.
Amen.
But if you believe it, hell can't bring you back.
Thank you.
God, you've seen the promised land. You've seen the milk and honey. You've seen it, Jacob. You've seen it, Joshua and Caleb. You've seen it. You know the good land. You heard the truth.
Yes, sir.
You can't ever go back to lies when you've heard the truth. That's why some of you, even if you don't like me, you ain't got nowhere to go. You got to stay here. You
stop.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Even if I get on your nerves, where are you going to go? There's nobody preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's go back and look at this picture. You see that picture? Now watch it. I'm going to show you the exact same picture. Are you ready? Right there.
Right.
Wow. Watch. Here's how Yahweh told Moses to build the tabernacle. And I want you to notice, do you see all the light around this throne that John sees?
Amen.
Guess what stood above the throne in the tabernacle? The light, the pillar of fire. It never left.
Hallelujah.
So look, look right there, and look right there. Light. 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 Everywhere you go. Light. Everywhere you go. Just not yet. We're going to leave them back there. Listen. Light. Everywhere you go. Now stay with me, saints. This is a picture. When we get to Revelation, if you don't know this picture, you're gonna wonder. How many of you have been in the church all your life and you've always wondered who the 24 elders were? You're fixing to feel so dumb in a minute.
Hallelujah.
Because I felt dumb when it was made so plain to me. You're going to see it. And when you see it, you're going to be like, my God, that's a good preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm messing with you. Now listen, the camp of Israel, as it was established in Sinai, followed a hollow square.
Yeah.
In the center of the hollow was the tabernacle of Moses. Around the tabernacle, somebody say around.
Around.
I believe we just read some other stuff that was around. Around the tabernacle, Israel was divided into four camps. One camp of three tribes on the east side. Another camp of three tribes on the south side. Now here comes the four living creatures again. Oh well. Another camp of three on the west side. Four. And another camp of three on the north side. Here's what it looked like. Now right here's the tabernacle. Here is three tribes in the north, three tribes camped in the east, three in the south, three in the west. That's 12 tribes. Starting to look to me a lot like the 12 gates to the city. Good God. With the name of Israel. Tribes for each one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all fixing to see something. Your eyes go open wide open. But now, we don't have a complete picture here. Notice in the middle of it all is the throne.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now the area between the tribes, this area right here, you see one, two, you see these little camps? These were not part of these tribes. These are the priests of Israel. And their tents were camped around the throne. Here's the throne, and here's the priestly tribe. They're not part of the church at large. Oh, I'm about to shout. Now, these tribes here is where you got to pay attention. Watch. In the open area between the camp of the tribes of Israel and the tabernacle was camped the tribe of Levi, which was the priesthood. They were round about the tabernacle. Now these are not round about it. These are outside of it. But there was a group of people round about the throne. Oh, notice this carefully. In order to go to the tabernacle from any of the tribes of Israel, it was necessary to pass through the camp of the priest. This great truth reveals that God placed the camp of the priest directly between himself and the people of Israel. Now watch this. Your eyes go open in a minute. When it does, you're going to shout like Pentecostals. Listen. Listen now. These people out here, he told them, don't come near my dwelling. You can be saved.
Thank you.
But you can't come around the throne.
Yes, sir.
You can't be in the covenant.
Yes, sir.
You cannot serve me. And because remember what a priest does. Watch this. Here's a priest. One hand to God, and one hand of the people.
Hallelujah.
That's the priest, and that's what they do. They are between Yahweh and the people. In the coming kingdom of Yahweh, there will be a group of people that have access to Him face to face on a daily basis, directly with Him. They dwell around the throne.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Some of my heart's high. Watch this now. What did he tell those Zadok priests? He said about the tribes of Levi and Israel. He said, let them serve me in the outer court. But the Zadok priests, I want you to come into my presence and serve me. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand why this ministry is sitting here fighting hell every day, because we're preaching a message that's commanding you to go higher than salvation.
Lord,
to the throne. Lord, to the throne.
Yes, oh yeah.
Satan will not try to keep you out of heaven, but he'll try to keep you out of the throne.
Yeah.
I hope you heard what I said. He don't care if you go to heaven, but he don't want you on the throne.
Oh yeah.
God, Messiah.
Yes, sir.
You better hear me. The minute you start pushing in, the minute you start becoming sanctified, the minute you lay down every sin, the minute you keep the commandments, he knows there's a change.
Yes.
You got to be focused. It's not heaven, it's the throne, and he will fight you every step of the way.
Yes, sir.
He'll fight you through your mama. He'll fight you through your wife, your husband. He'll fight you through your employer. He's got to stop you from getting to the throne.
You better expect it.
Because if you're out here, you're not going to hurt him at all.
Right.
But if you've got the authority of the throne, you can speak out of the horse.
Yeah.
You can speak.
Yeah.
And he must bow down like a little gay boy in jail. He must lay down for you. Why? Because he's nothing when you come speaking from the throne.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When Bubba walks in jail, Big Bubba, you the little boy, they put you down. When Satan comes into your presence, if you're living in sin, you're going to become his little boy. But if you're in a commandment, keeping child of God, you're going to command him to loose your family, loose me, loose you, and let him know I have authority. Oh yes, Satan, you've got power, but I've got authority, and it comes from the throne of God. You better understand tonight.
Thank you.
How dare you try to go to heaven? Paul said that's the low call. Paul said, I'm attaining to the high calling.
Hey.
Now, I want to go one step higher. Brother Lyman, well, keeping the Sabbath saved me, that's your problem. You're thinking about salvation. Maybe we're thinking about domination. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about domination. We're caught from that side. Get your mind out of salvation. Is it going to save me? You don't want to be saved. You want to be an overcomer. You want to be a victor. You want to be wearing the crown. Hallelujah. God ain't interested in you getting started. The Bible said this race is not given to him that starts.
Yes, sir.
To those that swim and start. No, he said it's given to those that set their pace.
Yes,
they set their jog. They set an easy trot. And no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how hard the wind is, they will stop. They endure to the end. They fight every fight because they want the throne.
Yes.
Heaven's for sake.
It costs you something.
Heaven's for sissies. Tell them I said it. Heaven's for little Baptist sissies. The throne is for overcomers.
Hallelujah.
You heard me? It's for overcomers.
Hallelujah.
When somebody says, I want to make heaven my home, what they're saying is, I have no intention for the throne.
Thank you, sir.
You got to understand.
True.
who you've been called to be, sisters. How many times you go home during the week? My wife and I, you don't think we deal with it? You got family that you love. You got friends that know Sunday keeping churches. You know, you're going to say they're good people. They love God. And you know, are we preaching that we're better than them? No, I'm preaching that we're more fought by hell than them. I'm preaching that we've got a calling that they've not heard yet. But my prayer is that they will hear it. And until they do, I can't help it. I gotta go on. I feel like going on. I don't care if you heard it. Oh, I heard it. I gotta go on.
I gotta go on.
Feel like going on.
Gotta move on. Hallelujah.
Y'all stay on there, worship on the Sunday if you want to, do what you want. But I heard a call that said, come out from among her.
Hallelujah.
I heard that.
That's what I heard.
And I heard it.
That's what I heard.
If you're in this house tonight, you heard it. If you're in this house, you heard it. And it don't make you better than nobody. It just gives you a different calling than everybody. I got a grandmother that ain't never kept the Sabbath. You don't think I know she's going? I'm preaching nobody's not going to heaven. But I am saying this. There are some qualifications for the throne. And it's called the law of God.
Yes, it is.
You've got to learn to love it. What did David say? Thy law have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against Yahweh.
Yes,
see, the church calls the law done away with. But David said, thy law,
thy law.
Do I think about day and night?
Yes,
no pastor is trying to get you to not think about the law day and night. But somebody said, I want to be like David. Well, you're going to think about the law day and night. Lord, if I broke your law today, have I done show it to me that I might repent quickly before
you? Thank you, Father.
Y'all sit down so I can teach.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
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 Isn't the Lord good to us tonight?
Amen.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, this walk, don't get frustrated, Brother Holbridge. Uh-huh. Don't get frustrated, Brother Brian Good. How many times have you told somebody this truth and they couldn't even argue with you about it, but they just couldn't get it?
Right.
They can't argue with you. You got them. You got them by the tail. You got them. But they still don't see it. I'll tell you why. There was a calling, and then there's a high calling.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, I don't count myself as to have already obtained that high calling. Now, he was saved. He knew he was saved. So surely he's got heaven. Surely he's got all that, right? But he said, look, there's one calling that I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. It's that high calling. The throne calling. The throne's calling you tonight.
Thank you.
The throne is calling you, son. It's calling you to come past the things of this world. Drugs won't put you on the throne.
Thank you.
Alcohol won't put you on the throne.
Thank you.
Obedience to Yahweh will put you in the throne,
yes,
son.
Hallelujah.
Now listen, I must hurry along. It should be clear to any mind now. Any mind. That the priesthood camped round about the tabernacle corresponds precisely to the scene of 24 elders seated round about the throne of God. Where were those children of Hosea? Where were those tribes of Israel pitching their tent? Around the throne. Were they not the elders of Israel? Oh, hold on now. Listen carefully. Were they not the elders of Israel? Were the priests not the elders? Are our priests not elders today?
Yes, sir.
You see, the Ark of the Covenant is the most holy place of the tabernacle.
Amen.
It constituted the throne of Yahweh in the midst of His people. And round about the throne was His what?
Priesthood.
Now, what did I tell you at the beginning of this series? The whole book of Revelation is about two things. Tell me what they are. Kings
and priests.
Last week we dealt with the living creatures, which are the kings. Shehai, Shukamohotai. Yeah, we dealt with the kings for the last 2 weeks. We dealt with domination. We dealt with the authority of the throne. We dealt with the king mentality of the throne. But now John is about to see another aspect of these people called the overcomers. The first one is the kings, the living creature, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, the kings. But now we change. And now we start looking at the other aspect of the overcomer. Now wait a minute. Remember, the whole book of Revelation is written not to Christians, but to overcomers.
Amen.
Now the book of Revelation is not written to your Baptist friend.
Thank you, sir.
They'll throw it down and never look at it. But there are some folks, you get your nose stuck in that book and you don't know why.
That's right.
Amen, Renee?
Amen.
A natural love for the book of Revelation. Who gave you that love? Where did it come from? There's a throne in that book.
Thank you, sir.
And it's calling you.
Amen.
There's a throne in that book.
Hallelujah.
And it's calling you, sir. And now listen as we go further and show you the rest now. The ministry of the priesthood now, which is revealed to you, the truth of it. We're not going to read it tonight, but if you go to 1 Chronicles 24 in your studies, you're going to find out that under King David, in preparation for their future ministry in the temple, the Levitical priesthood was divided into how many courses? Oh God, from Zion. How many courses? 24. What do you mean courses? Shift work. It was shift work. Somebody had to be in that temple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they had to divide these priests up into shift work, or 24 shifts.
Right.
I see you smiling over there,
right.
Elder Maroney.
Right.
Why? Because that just told you who the 24 elders are. Good God from Zion. These priests were divided into 24 shifts.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Under the headship, and you know what they called them? 24 elders. The priests were the elders in Israel.
Hallelujah.
And they were divided into 24 shifts. The priesthood had become so numerous that all of those priests could not go into the house of Yahweh at one time. So they were divided into courses and assigned to work shifts. Each course of priest came on duty for a week at a time. How many weeks? It took 24 courses, all of them, all of these, to make up the entire priesthood of Yahweh. The priesthood is represented by the number 24. The 24 elders represent the whole priesthood of Yahweh, of which Jesus is the head, Yeshua, our great high priest. It all boils down to this. The four living creatures represent the ministry of kingship, for they dwell in the midst of the throne. But the 24 elders reveal within themselves the ministry of priesthood, for they will be among the people. See, let me explain to you. When you go into the New Jerusalem, there will be two aspects of your ministry. One will be kingly authority. The other, priestly service. Both of these are pictures of you. You're going to have power. Oh yeah, you're going to have that king. But there's going to be another part of you that will wash somebody's feet.
Hallelujah.
That will bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes, sir.
That will go out through the nations of the world having pity and mercy upon the people that Satan has destroyed all these generations.
Yes,
you're going to now you're coming out of the throne.
Yes, sir.
Oh, to go among the people. Oh, God. Watch this now. The government is a government of the people. And for the people.
Amen.
Oh no. You're not just going to be sitting in a throne commanding things. No, you're going to take that authority. Because when Yeshua comes back, we will have had World War III. We will have had nuclear war.
Yes, sir.
There will be people all over our planet that will be desperate from Satan's ravages. And when you come down from the throne, the government in New Jerusalem, and become the priest now, you will walk among the nations with that authority. And you'll say, rise and be healed, son.
Hallelujah.
That's the priesthood. The priesthood gets dirty among the people. Kings rule from thrones, but priests serve the people.
Hallelujah.
If you thought you were going to the throne to be a king, that's why you're not going. You wanted the face of a lion, didn't you? You wanted the eagle. You wanted that power. But listen, absolute power corrupts those that have not been priests first. People that want to be pastors, that's why they've abused the people, because at one time they wasn't among the people, serving the people. That's why Yeshua said, I was in prison and you didn't come see me. Here's what he said. You don't understand. Before I put you on the throne, I need to put you among the people.
Yes, sir.
I want to see how you treat that little old lady in the corner that says we'll work for food.
Yes, sir.
Oh, she's a scam. I know she is. But he didn't tell me to find out if they were scams.
Thank you, sir.
He said, help those in need.
Thank you.
Brother Bond, they're not going to rob my money. Is it your money or his?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Oh, they're just running a scam. Maybe so. But I'll tell you what's not a scam. Hand it to them.
Hallelujah.
And watch God take it.
Yes, sir.
Watch God take it.
Yes, sir.
Watch God take it.
Yes.
Watch God take it. Why? Your priesthood's being tested.
Thank you, sir.
Are the people too dirty for you?
Thank you.
Your priesthood's being tested. Are they too filthy for you? Your priesthood. See, the path to the throne is through the people.
Amen.
What was Yeshua before he was king of kings?
Uh-oh.
A servant. Among the
people.
You know why I come here? You know why I drove 6 hours today? I could have worked another day and made a lot of money. But you know why I'm here tonight? I will serve his people.
Thank you, Father.
I will.
Hallelujah.
I got to be king because I need the authority.
Hallelujah.
To do the work of the priesthood.
Thank you.
I'm trying to teach you something tonight. This picture that I showed you, let's go back quickly. This picture right here. Brother Vaughn, that looks like a great mystical picture. No, that is a picture of you. This is one aspect of you.
Thank you.
This is the other aspect of you.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to the throne is through the priesthood.
Hey.
What was Yeshua? A priest among the people. But then when he was resurrected in his spirit body, he becomes the living creature, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. You will take to the throne to the people. Let me tell you something. If you don't love people, you'll hate the throne. Now watch as I try my best to come through this as fast as I can. Get this. If you get nothing else tonight, get this. These are not two separate companies. Please get this in your mind, Sister Dion. Always remember this. This and these are not two separate companies. They're two separate aspects of one company.
Thank you, sir.
This is the picture, Brother Brian, of you in your king. What did Revelation say? Thou hast made us kings and priests. Unto our God. This is king and priest.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We got to get this, children. You got to get this in your minds. This is the King Priest ministry of the born again sons of God. How many know there's nobody born again in this room?
Thank you, sir.
And around the world, if you say you're born again, you're lying. Nobody's born again. Because if you were born again, you could walk through walls.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You can't do it.
That's right.
Because you're not yet been manifested.
Hey.
You've not yet been born again. Oh, you've been conceived again, but not born again. Listen to me, children, and listen well. Ain't nobody in the world born again, or if you were, you'd be sitting on the throne. Oh, yeah. I see your funny looks. I ain't got time to deal with it tonight. What's another word for manifest? What's another word for manifest? If the baby's in your belly, when it's born, it's manifest. Oh, these are the born again by the resurrection sons of Yahweh. God is raising up within each of his called and chosen elect the spirit and the nature of sonship, the spirit and nature of kingship, the spirit and nature of priesthood. Now let's talk about this. In Revelations 5, 9 through 10. Thou hast made us kings, or made us our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign in heaven. We're going to reign over the earth.
Amen.
Now, the four living creatures, what does it say in that chapter? It tells you who they are right here. These four, thou hast made us, we were not this before, but you have made us kings. Four living creatures and 24 elders, priests, and we shall reign over the earth. Now I want you to notice, and it says, and read that for me. Somebody read verse 10. I don't have it pulled up. Revelation 5 and 10, quickly.
And made us sovereigns and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign upon the earth.
Read the next verse, or verse 9, whichever one it is.
9, and they sang a renewed song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim from your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.
Notice this, out of every tribe. There's only 12 tribes.
Amen.
Of Israel. Amen. These kings and priests are coming out of the tribes that have been scattered among the nations.
Amen.
You're not, if you're saved tonight, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're a member. You, it's because you were one of the lost sheep. The only people getting the Holy Ghost are those who were the lost sheep. I don't have time to get into it tonight. So listen now. Notice what he said. They're going to sing a new song.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your carnal mind automatically starts thinking about song. All right, they're going to write a new song. God ramble. They're going to call her out and let her write a new song for them. What does that mean? That they sing a new song. Ladies and gentlemen, I render to you tonight that this song is not lyrics.
Amen.
It's not lyrics.
Hallelujah.
It's an experience.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. Watch carefully. In the days of slavery, what did the old black folks sing in slavery? Wait in the water. What did they sing? Old depressor songs, right?
Right.
They were, why? They were depressed.
That's right.
They sung defeated songs. Why?
Yes,
they were defeated.
Yes, sir.
They don't sing Wait in the Water no more.
Thank you, sir.
Now Beyonce's tearing the whole music industry up. Why? They got a new song. They're walking in a new level. So now their experience has changed. So now the way they think changes. I'm going to get somewhere. Watch this carefully. What song are they singing? This song has nothing to do with words.
Thank you.
No, no. But rather, they've come to understand they're not Christians. They are kings and priests. They are not called for heaven. That's why, notice carefully, O Shalabah. That's why in this church we cannot sing anymore. I'll fly away. Why? It don't work for us. Our understanding has changed.
Yes,
we know we're not flying away. So we changed our song to our rule and reign.
Yeah.
Why? Our experience has changed.
Right.
Why have we quit singing about mansions and glory land? Because our level has changed. Matter of fact, those songs get on my nerves now. I can't sing them if I wanted to. Why? I'm not there anymore. A new song, a new revelation, a new understanding, a new concept has entered into my life. These kings will sing a new song.
That's all I have to
do. Yeah, a new level. A new experience. They'll sing a new song. Listen, God's meaning of a song is a message or a revelation or an experience. All songs are meant to convey a message. In other words, there's going to be, you listen to me now by the Holy Ghost. Tonight, I'm singing you a new song. I'm opening up your understanding. Tonight, the kings are singing a new song. What song? Victory. Victory is mine. Don't ever sing that old song again. Victory shall be mine. That's coming from a defeated mentality. But a king says victory. Victory is mine. I'm walking in it. I command it. I have the authority. Don't ever come to this church talking about you. I'm tired and so weary. But I must go along.
Come on now.
I hear the Lord. Don't say that in here. Ain't nobody here tired. We just getting started.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nobody here tired. I ain't tired. I ain't got tired yet. I'm running for Jesus a long time. And I ain't tired yet. Why? I got a new song. And here's what that song says. You've hit me once. You've hit me twice. Now hit me again, and I'll show you. I'm going to run home and see what the hymn's going to do.
Yes, sir.
You got to get a new song tonight. Amen. You got to get a new understanding.
Thank you, sir.
Come in here. Don't sing out loud, man. You lying. Do you know every church in town singing lies?
Yep.
When you sing out loud, where are you flying to? The Bible said New Jerusalem's coming down. So while you're going up, maybe I'll pass each other. Get a new song. How do you get it? Karen and I talk about it all the time. We don't even know how to sing no more. Every song we grew up with, we can't even sing it no more. Why? It don't match what we know now.
That's right, son.
It don't match.
Hallelujah.
We got a new song.
Right.
It ain't about words, it's about
that's
experience.
Right.
Yeah. Let me give you a prime example. Growing up in the church, in the old Pentecostal church, here's what people used to say. And I know you'll remember this, Sister Sheila. People used to say, if you see me shouting, you're going to know it's God. And they would stand there and not move until the Holy Ghost has got so strong in the house they break their neck finally with shouting. That's what we used to do it. But now, we got a new song. What is that? You over there about to jump out your skin. That's right. Well, what is the new song? Here's what it is. We now know to come in the door dancing before Yahweh. We don't have to wait to feel nothing. Let me give you an experience. Everybody in this room, Brother Brian, I want to help your old thinking. You ready? Are you ready? I want to show you something. Everybody in this room, clap your hands to Yahweh. Right. Clap your hands. Right. Did you have to feel the Holy Ghost to do that?
No.
Why did you do that?
Because everybody else
was. Because God said to do it through His servant, right? Clap your hands, everybody. I said to do it, so you did, right?
Yes.
Also, didn't His word say, clap your hands, all you people?
Amen.
Now, all right, everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why did you do that? The Bible said, lift your voice and say hallelujah.
Amen.
We're obeying the word. But let me tell you now, dance before Yahweh and you'll sit there like a lump on a log. Why? I don't feel nothing. You didn't feel nothing when you clapped your hands. You didn't feel nothing when you said hallelujah. Now why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? Because the Bible commands you to dance before Yahweh. The Bible said come into His presence with singing, dancing, and thanksgiving. The Bible said dance before Him with all your might. You're a commandment breaker if you're not dancing. Go tell all the Messianic people I said so.
Hallelujah.
Messianics get on my nerves. Listen, I'm going to tell you why. I love them to death. But they sit there with so much truth and yet no flowing of the Spirit of Yahweh. It's like a dead lake of knowledge. God said that we were like a river. We're flowing. We're moving. We're moving in the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get a new song, you move out of that old way of thinking. For example, Brother Brian, nobody in this ministry is allowed, and I'll say it, call me a cult leader, call me whatever you want to call me, but no one in this ministry, as long as I'm here, is allowed not to dance. Why? I'm the head of this congregation, and it's my job to teach you the Word of Yahweh.
Glory.
Let me give you an example.
Glory.
How many has ever been in a church where the pastor stood up and said, "Now everybody, worship God in the way you're comfortable"? How many have ever heard it? Get the devil out of the pulpit. That is not how you worship Yahweh.
That's right.
Oh, you don't believe me? It would be like the preacher saying, "Everyone today, give your tithe whatever percentage you so choose." What percentage did God say? 10. 9, 8, 7, or even 11 is against His commandment. When you write your tithe check, it ought to be 10% exactly of what you got. Oh, I'm making some folks upset now. That's all right. Because you've been taught by these messianics. You've been listening to this junk that tithing has been done away with. I got a lesson on it that will open your eyes. Tithing was never done away with because tithing didn't start with the law. It don't end with the law. It is an eternal principle that's as old as Yahweh Himself. Do you know Yahweh paid tithes? Yes, He did. In the first son called Yahshua, that was His 10%. That was His first fruit. That was His gift into the mankind world. He paid His tithe so He could get back up. It's a many sons. Yahweh's a tither.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.
If you don't pay tithes, don't keep the Sabbath. You're lying to Yahweh.
Thank you, sir.
I feel it now.
Hallelujah.
If you call yourself a Sabbath keeper, and you rob Yahweh of His tithe, quit keeping the Sabbath.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not getting off the subject. Y'all get nervous all you want. I'm staying right here.
Hallelujah.
Why? I'm trying to get you to the throne. If Yahweh can't trust you with His money, He'll never trust you with His people.
Yep.
It's trust. It's trust. It's trust. It's trust. It's trust.
Hallelujah.
If you'll rob God of His money, you'll rob your mama of hers. Listen to me carefully. I know some of you getting funny on me, but I'll be here next week whether you hear or not. And I'll still be preaching to Judy if that's all I got left. Why? Because Judy's always going to be with me. Listen to me. You was with me when I was preaching at the throne. But I'm trying to tell you that throne is established on trust. And if Yahweh can't trust you with His money, He'll never trust you with His throne. Do you think God needs your money? If you think I need one red pin and you got it, you're wrong. But I'm determined to make this church a blessed church. A church that's walking in holiness. Walking worthy of the throne of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting all that at the video.
Thank you.
All right. Where's my little screen? My little clicker.
Hallelujah.
In my pocket.
It's approved.
Hallelujah. Alright, the new people's rising up. Look, we're almost done. We're fixing to eat children. Listen to me. I want to, you know, now that I'm done, look at me, everybody. I love you whether you give a dime to this church or not. How many of you know that to be a fact?
Hallelujah.
I love you. God is good. How many has enjoyed this message tonight? Hallelujah. Now let's try to hurry through here. God is preparing the people, and they're sitting in this room tonight. A royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Tomorrow, I'm driving 4 hours to meet another group of people. that heard this ministry. They've now started the church. They came out of the United Pentecostal Church in Prattville, Alabama. I'll be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Drive 4 hours to see that little group that's come out. Why? Because there is a people. When I say there is a people rising up, not in Waveland, but all around the world, where God's raising them up as sons of the Most High. They're hearing the call and they're coming out. And while the church world continues with its time-honored traditions and childish delusions, singing about flying away, cabins in the corner of glory land or mansions over the hilltop, there is a people rising in the earth with a new and a wonderful vision to become kings and priests unto Yahweh. Their hearts are vibrating with the melodious strains of a new song, the song of a people with a purpose, a company gathered out of every generation, grown up in the fullness of life, conquering every enemy within and without. Somebody say, I'm that people. Say, I'm that people. Hallelujah. We're driving out growing more nursery. How dare you let them pastors that's taking care of nurseries make you feel bad because you decided to go to college. Because you won't come back to the nursery.
Yes, sir.
Love you, but I gotta go.
Amen.
Why? There's another calling. My time's almost up now. Do y'all know that these 24 elders and these living creatures is being created right now?
Amen.
In this room tonight?
Amen.
For these manifest sons, the whole creation is growing. And they are in the process of preparation, being made in the skillful hands of the great potter, a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. I must hurry. I don't have time to read it now. Have you considered the heavenly calling? Hebrews 3 and 1. Will someone read it for me real quickly now? Hebrews 3 and 1. Thank you, Yahweh.
Therefore, holy brothers and companions in the heavenly calling, consider Yahshua, the apostle and the high priest of our confession.
All right, stop there. Have you considered the heavenly calling? Did you hear what Paul just said? Stay with me, everybody. He said, have you considered? That's the title of my lesson tonight. Have you considered the heavenly calling? What heavenly calling, Pastor? The same one that Yahshua had. Have you considered your heavenly calling? What is it? To be kings and priests unto Yahweh. Have you considered it? The subject in the book of Hebrews is Christ's priesthood. The whole book's about Christ's priesthood. And the writers say that we, the holy brethren, she read that scripture. It starts off with what? Holy brethren. Commandment-keeping brethren. Seeing how true it is that Christ came into man's world and shared his weakness and sorrow. Seeing how true it is that the Christ is now exalted as high priest. Notice what he did before he became high priest. He was a low priest.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, before you get your throne, baby, you're going to walk through the ghetto.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be lied on, spit on, made fun of.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because one day, the first will be last. But the last will be first. You listen to me tonight. Oh, listen now. What is the heavenly calling of priesthood after the order? Not of Levi. See, that's why we don't keep all these Levitical laws. We're in a different priesthood, Melchizedek's priesthood, that pre-existed Levi and has also existed Levi. We're not going into Jewish tradition. We're not going into Levitical concepts. We're going into Melchizedek concepts. We're going into the priesthood that supersedes the Levitical priesthood. That's why people ask me all the time, do I believe there'll be a third temple built? Yes, I do. And there's a reason I believe it. Because there are still a people under the order of the Levitical priesthood. And they are under that Levitical old covenant. They are not part of the Melchizedek priesthood. They must go back to that. But there is another group of people that will never go back to that temple or that tabernacle. And then one day at the end of World War III, that temple will be destroyed again. And listen now, I want you to hear. I wish I had time to teach on these things. But anyway, he said, let us consider Yeshua the high priest. Now I'm getting into the close. This is my fourth one. If you would know the meaning and the glory and the power of that which you were called, consider him. Don't consider him only. And I want to say this to you. Everybody listen to me. I want to show you something. You ready? Here's where we make our mistake. Don't just consider him Savior. That's what the Baptists do. Don't just consider him healer. That's what the Charismatics do.
That's right.
I get somewhere.
That's right.
Don't consider him blesser. That's what the Kingdom Now churches do.
Yes, sir.
Don't just consider him baptizers. There's your Pentecostals.
Yes, sir.
No. That's your problem.
Yes, sir.
He's your Savior, Baptist. He's your healer, Charismatic. He's your blesser. He's your baptizer. Oh, he's all of that.
Yes.
But here's where their gospel is.
There it is.
At that point. But consider him as the high priest of the order of priesthood to which you've been called.
Hallelujah.
That's what you need to consider him as. Not your Savior, but your high priest.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you understand him as high priest, you'll begin to see yourself as priest. Oh God! And you got to see yourself as priest to see yourself as kings. Good God from Zion. See, your problem is, he's been your Savior, he's been your baptizer, he's been your healer, he's been your blesser, but he's not been your high priest. Are you even acting like a priest?
Thank you, sir.
See? The priesthood. Not just the priest. Everybody's preaching about the high priest. But the high priest, good God, the high priest don't exist without a priesthood. Oh, good God, everybody's focused on Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeshua's not a priest. He's a high priest. The word high comes from the Greek word archereus, which means the first of an order, such as speaker of the house or chief of police. Do you understand that the chief of police is still a police?
Yeah, that's right.
You understand the speaker of the house is still a member of the house? Oh, you understand that the chairman of the board is still on the board?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God. You understand that the pastor of the church is still a member of the church.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God. He's...
Hey.
Listen now. Don't shout too much. Listen. If you don't understand this, here's what's going to happen. If you don't understand that, then you won't understand the notion that the modern church has. About the majority of churches, here's what they say, that the priesthood of Christ is an individual.
Yes, sir.
Singular. Exercised by himself alone in some far off heaven. That's an absurdity. Oh no. Don't overlook the whole by looking at the leader. Don't overlook the church by looking at the pastor. Don't overlook the Congress by looking at the speaker. That's the problem the church has made. They're all focused on Jesus. How many has ever heard every preacher say, it's all about Jesus? No, it's not.
Thank you, sir.
I'd have got kicked out of every church in town just then.
Thanks,
it's not all about Jesus. Oh no. It starts about Jesus. It starts about him. Oh, but listen. A chairman of the board, without a board is no chairman. You cannot have a high priest without a priesthood anymore. Then you can have an archangel without an order of angels for the archangel to be leader of. You can't have a high priest without a priesthood any more than you can have a chief of police without a police force for the chief of police to be the chief of. You can't have a high priest without a priesthood any more than you can have a speaker of the house without a house. You can't have a high priest without a priesthood any more than you can have Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords without any other kings or any other lords for him to rule over. Do you not understand? It ain't all about him. It's about you. Whoa! He just ain't about him, baby. I'm his brother, and it's about me too. It's about what he's the high priest of. He's the high priest of what I'm a member of, the order of Melchizedek. And when I get that, I start focusing on my calling.
Hallelujah.
I got to get done here now. The priesthood of Aaron. I ain't got time to get into it. I just don't have time tonight. Oh God, I can't do it. The priesthood. God, you want to touch on this though, right here. Notice what God said in Exodus 28:1. He told Moses, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now there's a big problem with this verse. Are you ready for it? Did you see it or not? Here's the problem. He calls five people's names and calls them all. Wake up, O sleeper.
Amen.
He names five people and calls them all what? Say he.
He may minister.
Huh? That he may minister. But you just call five to minister. I'm going to call all five a he, baby, because you don't understand.
Hey.
I'm in Christ. I said, I'm in Christ. Hey. So when you're talking about him, you're talking about me.
Hallelujah.
See? Look at it, children.
Right.
He said, get his five sons from among the brethren. And everything Yahweh says about Yahshua, he's saying about everyone that's hidden in Yahshua.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, that made me shout in my office today.
Hallelujah.
God chose five men that he may minister. The ministries of these five men were wrapped in each other so that God saw them as one. Aaron did not minister without the priest. And Yahshua cannot minister in the millennium without the 24 elders.
Thank you, sir.
Without that company of priests.
Thank you, sir.
That he's training right now. Now to end it up, let's try to, I don't have time to get there, but I do want to talk about these crowns. What was on these elders' head? Crowns of gold. Revelations 4:4, and around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. Isn't that interesting? And they had in their heads crowns of gold. Let us notice this, characteristics of these elders. Throughout the scriptures, only men are called elders. Only men sit on the throne. Only men wore white raiment. Only men wore the crowns. Why is that? This is fitting because the Greek word here, crown, really means victorious crown. Won in athletic contest or in the field of battle. It bespeaks of one who has gone through the battle of life on earth in obedience to the will of his Father, with all the testings, the trials, the tribulations, the provings and the trials, in order to earn the victor's crown. In Bible days, it was men who won such crowns. Why is that important? Let me show you. But we are not speaking naturally. We are speaking spiritually. I'm going to show you the masculine side of Yahweh now and the feminine side. I'm going to show you your masculine side and your feminine side. God is made up of both. Remember, he said, I'll be a mother to you and a father. He said, I took Israel under my wings like a hen. That's a woman. Listen, there are two sides to Yahweh and there's two sides to your character in God. Stay with me. Men represent those persons who have developed within themselves masculine qualities of divine life, strength and authority, discernment and wisdom, dominion and power. These are mature ones, elders, if you will. There are many different states of beings or developments in your walk with God. Some are called babes in Christ. Others are called little children. Some are called young men. Others are called mature men or elders. Other women, some are called sons of God. Some are daughters of God. And there is a class identified as the bride of Christ. And some are called called elders. I want to tell you this, and I got, to hurry. Listen, children are not sons.
Thank you, sir.
Just because you're a child of God don't mean you're a son of God.
Amen.
Nuh-uh. Sons are mature, children are not.
Amen.
Children are children, children are not sons. For the word for a child in the Greek is technon, whereas the word for a grown son is huios. When the scripture speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God, it refers to those who spiritually have grown up in the nature, the stature, and the authority of their father. Now, Brother Bob, has this ever confused anybody? Have you ever been uncomfortable? Deal with it now. I'm sorry, time's getting away, but I gotta teach this thing. Have you ever been confused by, I'm the bride of Christ, but yet I'm a son of God? I particularly don't quite identify with the bride. And if you do, you got a little problem going on. If you're a man. I never could. Now, how many women in here, you identify with the bride of Christ? Right? Right? How many of you women identify with sons of God?
Amen.
What is the problem? Here's the problem. You don't understand what you're fixing to understand. Bride of Christ versus sons of God. How can we be both? How can I be a bride of Christ and then a masculine son of God? Judy, how can you be a son of God and yet little old bride of Christ? You know how you can do it? Go back to the picture we started with. Go back to four living creatures, masculine. Go to the 24 elders, feminine. Watch this now. You've got to get. See, that's the problem with a lot of women preachers that I have a problem with. They don't understand their strength is in their femininity, not their masculinity. But you see, in your desire to get power, that's a masculine quality. Yet men, now please stay with me, because our children, listen. Can we not see by this that brideship bespeaks of spiritual femininity? Now hold on. Relationships of intimate love and reverent submission to Christ. Now, the reason some of you don't know why Christ refers to you as a bride, because you're rebellious to your husband, and therefore you don't understand that when Christ speaks of a bride, he speaks of a submissive woman.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah. If you're a woman with masculinity, you're not a woman. You're a spiritual lesbian. Always remember that. We're getting deep now. I'm going to teach you something. What is a spiritual lesbian? A spiritual lesbian is one that must be in control. She's a butch in the spirit.
Yes, sir?
Yeah. She may be wearing a dress to the floor and her hair piled up to the ceiling, but she's a lesbian in the spirit. Hey, I'm teaching whether you're going to get it or not. I'm revealing something to you. You better listen. See, when I start talking like this, spirits start getting riled up at people. Because we're thank you for praying over there. Because here's what happens. Truth now is coming out. And God's searching the insides of you right now. You don't like it. You think you're walking with God. But see, the Bible said the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll divide you. It'll search you out.
Yes, sir.
Christ thinks of a bride as submissive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's changed. But listen, that's what he means by the bride. That's a bride relationship. A submitted.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to teach you how you can be the bride and the sons.
Come on.
Whereas sonship, something embodies the masculine characteristics of strength and dominion to rule over things. Beloved, let us not become so overbalanced in our zeal to become sons of God that we circumvent the marvelous reality of brides of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now stay with me, children. I'm going to lose you right now if you don't catch this. This is why the Spirit has given us in Revelation chapter 12. Do you know what's in Revelation chapter 12? The woman in the wilderness that gives birth to a man-child.
Yes, sir.
In the birthing of this man-child, I'm showing you the four living creatures and the 24 elders. I'm showing you the bride of Christ and the sons of God. Both should be aspects in your life.
Hallelujah.
One side submissive and the other side with full authority.
Hallelujah.
See? You must get this. This is why the Spirit's given us chapter 12 of a glorious sun-clad woman giving birth to a man-child that's called up to God. Why? Because the only thing coming out of a resurrection is not brides of Christ, it's sons of God. But sons of God can only come from the bride of Christ. Oh, see, your dominion power will only come after you found your submissive power. You must find, you must find the bride of Christ and the sons of God in you at the same time. See, while living on this earth, some of you ain't getting none of this, but those that are, your life's going to change tonight. While living on this earth, you're to become the bride. You're to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And that bride, only fix the text, that bride then in the resurrection will give birth to the sons of God. Your femininity will give birth to your masculinity. You will come up in the resurrection having come through the love relationship into the ruling relationship. But the problem we have today, people are trying to be in the ruling relationship without the submitted relationship.
Thank you, sir.
God help us tonight. I feel this working in my spirit. I feel this working in my spirit.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sons come out of the bride. You see, the sons of God come out of the bride. Oh, you got to be the bride first. Listen to me, children. In this life, you got to lay down. Oh, yeah. You got to let people walk all over you. You got to lay down like the woman does and bear with my language. You got to lay down. Oh, yeah. You got to get. I want to say that word. You.
We got it. We got it, sir.
You got to get hit real hard.
Thank you, sir.
You got to get hurt. You got to get raped and molested. You better hear me now.
Yes, sir.
You got to get. Satan's got to ravage you. Do you understand me?
This is good. Come on. Hallelujah.
To see if you're going to come up fighting. Or go down praying.
Right.
And trusting. Because if you understand brideship, you'll understand that in just a few more days, everything that waits is going to be under your feet.
Yeah.
And you're going to take authority over it. Every drug that ever bound you, shut up a hospital. When you come up out, you're going to have full authority over every demon power in your life. Do you hear me tonight? I don't know why I'm preaching this long, but there's something working in the spirit. I'm trying to reveal to you the message of the hour. You've got to lay down first before you can get up.
Right.
See, son, catch it. You got to lay down before you get up. You got to be the bride before you become the son.
Yes,
our relationship to Christ as a bride foreruns our relationship to the Father as a son. Brideship is the harbinger of sonship. It is through the intense love, fellowship, and the vital union with Christ made in one that we are initiated into that glory of strength and dominion over all things as sons of God. The man-child comes out of the woman. Your man-child experience comes out of your womanly experience. Your strength comes out of your destruction. Your power comes out of your destruction. Your power comes out of yielding and laying down and trusting your husband. That's why the Bible said, do you know, somebody asked me one day, living you. I said, Brother Vaughn, what about an eye for an eye? And a tooth for a tooth. I said, when did that change? I said, it never changed. But didn't Jesus say, no, no, no. It's still an eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. The only thing that changed was who was going to take the eye. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
In Old Testament days, you would go take it. But now that you're developing a relationship with your husband, how many women go out to get vengeance upon somebody that hurt them? They send their husband, don't they?
Watch out there, man.
See?
Watch out there.
Somebody mistreats you, you come home and tell them. Gosh, that's if you're not a lesbian. If you're a lady, if you're not a rebellious woman, you go home to your husband and trust your husband for your care, right? Now watch this. Watch me.
Thank you, sir.
It's still an eye for an eye. Because the husband's going out to get the eye. You've got a husband now. And when you trust that vengeance is his, you'll lay down every time.
Yay.
Ah!
Hallelujah.
Ah!
Yes,
you lay down.
Yes, sir.
When people steal from you, they take you, they mistreat you, then you'll lay down. Because you're in a relationship with husband. Lover of my soul. I'm not going to go deal with that. I'm not going to cuss them back. I'm not going to cuss. I'm trusting you because I know when you get through with them, they ain't never been messed up like they're going to be messed up when you get through, when you do your job. But you see, only a true wife can do that. Some loud-mouthed woman to go through town drinking her beer, screaming at all the men what she's going to do. No, no, no. Go home. Trust your husband.
Thank you, sir.
So what it means, eye for an eye, it's still an eye for an eye. Because maybe he's going to get so many eyes out of them when he gets through. See? You don't have to. That's forming the bride relationship. Good God from Zion.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's good.
Who are these 24 elders? Mature men. Those who have grown up into Christ. Putting his own wonderful mind into their minds. These are the sons of God who are kings and priests of the Most High. The 24 elders are clothed in white raiment, which means they have glorified bodies. Anytime you see white raiment in the book of Revelation, that don't mean righteousness like you think it does.
Yes, sir.
It's their spirit bodies.
Thank you, sir.
Their changed bodies.
Light.
Why is it on their head? And we close with this. The crowns of gold are upon their heads. Why? This appears very natural, but yet it's got deep significance. The Greek word for head is kapel, which comes from the root kapto, meaning to seize. It is not the head, but it's the mind that this crown is sitting on. That the adversary wants your mind. He wants to tell you you're broke when Yahweh said you're blessed. He wants to tell you everything's falling apart when Yahweh said he was building the house and it would never fall apart.
Yes, sir.
He wants your mind. I want to explain something to you children, please. I can't help the time tonight. But if you're going to sit on this throne, you've got to get that crown on your mind. What crown? Gold always represents the nature of Yahweh.
Yes, sir.
Always. Watch this. The mind is the gateway to the whole body.
Yes,
it is in the mind of man that he's emanated from the life of God. It's by the renewing of the mind that we're transformed. It is thus upon a renewed mind that the crown of gold will one day rest. When your mind is renewed and you become an elder, a mature man in God, you will sit in the throne as a king and around the throne as a priest. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Yahweh, for your word tonight.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Please accept my apologies for the late hour.
Thank you.
I promise you, I didn't mean to teach this long. But I feel like the revelations of the Spirit outweigh time.
Yes, sir.
The understanding of the eternal. Children, I believe Yahweh's coming back in the next few years. I believe it with everything in my being.
Yes, sir.
And as I stand before you now, I feel heaven in this room.
Yes.
I feel the presence of the coming King as he shall soon rest upon his church. I want you to hear me tonight. Brother Brian, get a throne mentality. Desire the throne zone.
Yes, sir.
be an elder and a beast.
Yes, sir.
Have power.
Yes, sir.
And submission. And the throne is calling you. What's he calling you to do? To become a wife, a bride, so that you can be metamorphosed into a son. As you say yes to him, he says yes to you. And as you grow up in him, he grows into you. It's an intimate union. That's what prayer is. Do you know that prayer is making love with the Messiah? You understand that? It's the intimacy where he comes into you, you go into him, and together you become one. And from that relationship forms submission. What submission? Every one of you in this room, before I met you, we're not Sabbath keepers except maybe today. The rest of us, we were breaking commandments. But then the change began to happen. And now I'll be a Sabbath. If I don't make it to work, I'll be a Sabbath. What? It's commandments. I'll be in Passover. I'll be in the whole. What? It's who I am now. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost, for that revelation. How many wives in here tonight? Oh, Lord, this is good.
Hallelujah.
If your husband said, I'm taking you tonight to Red Lobster, and we're going to have a moment together, being acquainted with one another, and the wife didn't show up, you know why she didn't show up? She wants power of Pentecost without obedience, without relationship. The proof that you're the bride of Christ is when you show up to the dates. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you show up to the dates, that's the proof that you're the bride. And here you are tonight, the bride of Christ. Let's lift our hands tonight.
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, may we bless you tonight. Say something. Hallelujah. Let's worship him.
Hallelujah.